And good morning. Welcome into another Public Perspective on AM 1340 KXEO. I'm Ray Michaels and joined by a bevy of beauties, a trio of ladies this morning. Would you go around the room and introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Deb Haig. I'm the middle school principal here in town.
I'm Marcy Miner. I'm the PR coordinator for the district.
And I am Bridget Bingham. I am a high school special services teacher.
Thank you very much, ladies. I know you all are giving up part of your day to be with us, and I'll try to make this as easy, simple, and painless as we can. I mean, you're used to speaking to students, so this should be no problem, right?
No problem, at least for me.
As they look up at me with fear in their eyes. Okay, so how has the stay-at-home order affected you, not just as a teacher, and this is for all of you, but as a parent as well?
Well, balancing work from home and at school and trying to find a balance between facilitation of that learning and all the things all of a sudden I find it hard to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing when, because I see all these projects that when we have time or when we're at home we'll get to them. Well, they're pretty prevalent now since we're spending so much time at home. Also, the four of us have never spent this much time at home together. Ever. I mean, someone is always coaching or on contract or they are in a sport. This is new.
Not had the opportunity. Marcy, what about you?
Oh, I'm still working daily for school stuff, but it's not always at school. So we've got a modified schedule in the office. We're working 5 out of 10 days. It is more flexible, so I might decide to go home in the afternoon and mow my yard and then log on later on the laptop and then... I have a high school student and a middle school student at home, and they've been there a little bit, but they're planting. It's spring planting right now, so they've been going down to the farm with their dad. And so I'm getting a lot of uninterrupted work done at the office and at home.
Bridget, how about you?
Kind of like what Deb said, I've got to do my schoolwork for my own students that I have in my classroom remotely on the computer, but then I also have my three children who I need to help facilitate their learning with as well. And so it's a delicate balance on how you work on your own stuff, but yet make sure that your children are doing what they need to be doing as well. And we only have the one Chromebook in the house, so it works best if my youngest uses it first, and then I let my teenagers sleep in, and then when they get up, then it's their turn to use the Chromebook. So that's how I've scheduled that.
Whatever works best for you.
Yes.
What are the district employees that are working some hours in the building doing?
At the middle school, we're meeting as departments to work on some of those curricular items we do not have time to do. So I'm on a Zoom meeting, it seems like, all the time. Or not Zoom, we don't use Zoom. I do that for my professional organizations, but we use Google Hangouts. So lots of online meetings. Today I met with all the teams and we talked about awards assemblies and promotion and end of the year things. And then there are a lot of things to do at school that either didn't get finished or need to be finished earlier than usual. It's just a really odd predicament, but I am not lacking for work. I could be there all day, every day, for many, many hours. So,
Marcy, same for you?
Yeah, at Central Office, what we're doing right now is the modified work schedule again. So we have operations that are basically working daily because the yards need to be mowed. And as Deb mentioned, we have things in buildings. And since we don't have kids here, it's easier to get those repairs and updates done that we needed to do before. So we do still have people in here. Payroll. So we've had Andy in doing payroll, and then we've got to pay the bills. We still have to pay the bills. So our business office has been open, and then our secretaries are in on modified schedules on off days. So we don't have as many people in the building, but we're still answering emails and calls as needed.
Sure. And Bridget, have you been at the high school at all to work in your classroom?
I have been once since school has let out. And honestly, it was one of the most sad things that I have seen in a very, very long time. So I got what I needed to get so I could work at home, and I got out.
I can understand that.
It is deeply saddening not to have children in the halls or teachers or anyone. It is a sad deal.
How is that affecting you guys emotionally?
It breaks my heart on so many different levels. You know, I do have the three children of my own, so it breaks my heart for my own children. You know, there's no esports, there's no track, you know, there's no Seagull, there's nothing, you know, that they can go and join into. My heart breaks for my own students because I have students that love those hugs, that love that verbal confirmation. Yes, I'm doing it right. Hey, good job, buddy. Yeah, give me a high five, whatever. I can't do that over, you know, Google Hangouts or anything like that. There are some of my students that I can't see over Google Meets and things. Luckily, I do have some parents that will send me pictures, which makes it a lot easier.
Sure.
But it's just
tough.
Heartbreaking, yes.
Marcy, do we know anything at this point about when parents or students can pick things up out of their lockers, turn in their books, and that type of thing?
Deb may be able to answer a little bit more on this, too. But right now, our administrators have been instructed to find a time for their teachers to come into the building, again, on a modified schedule, so everybody's not there at the same time. And then we will be communicating that out pretty soon on when the parents can pick them up if it hasn't been already. I have a middle school student, so I've heard a little bit too from that. And then we're hoping the last 2 weeks, what would have been the last 2 weeks of school, we can get some parents in here to pick some things up. And we have things that need to be returned to school, and then we have kids that need to come and get things from school.
Right. It becomes a huge thing for the middle school. High schoolers don't believe in lockers. They only carry backpacks, which is a big benefit because you don't have to clean out lockers. And elementary schools have desks, which are huge, too, to clean out. But we have lockers. So we have 545 lockers that we will have to go through. And the good news is that when we left, we tried to encourage all middle school students to take everything you'd need to learn at home. So most children did that, so that's good. But then we sent them home with anything they may need because it was pretty obvious that this was going to be longer than the unfortunate couple of weeks. So we're tossing around ideas, but we'll probably bag things up and have a whole system with labels, and they'll check in and we check out. But which is stressful a little bit for parents because it's just, it's over their heads, I think.
That,
it's just one more thing.
It's a finality to it as well.
Yes. Agreed.
Now, what has the challenge that this has caused to traditional learning taught each of you personally and the district as a whole?
Well, I should be fired as a homeschool crisis teacher. I'll tell you that right now. I will teach any middle school child science and maybe some other subjects, but not my own children. Goodness gracious, this is not for me. So I have one, a new respect for anybody that could homeschool their children, but I have such a great respect for any parent who is trying to do their best, and I feel worried for them because if I'm overwhelmed as a 22-year-old educator who can control 545 kids in a gym but can't control my own two at the dining room table, I mean, geez. So my heart really, you know, it's hard to motivate. I mean, some parents have these wonderful children that, like, we have kids who are like, give us more work. And then I didn't have those children. I blame it on Steve Haig. But, you know, I have to sit down and say, you have to do this. And it is physically and emotionally exhausting some days. So some days I cancel school.
I was never that lucky.
you didn't. You should have been in school during a pandemic. I hear they're doing those things.
I wasn't homeschooled either. But homeschooling wasn't a thing when I was in school. Are you kidding? Marcy, what, from a technology standpoint, what's it taught the district?
Online learning has really taken off just nationwide also because teachers and companies have been had to switch, and they've had to switch quickly. So I think if we would have normally implemented something like this, it might have taken us all year, but we had to switch quickly. Mm-hmm. And then one of our biggest concerns is that all of our families don't have access to technology or have access to devices. So we actually put out a family technology survey recently to kind of figure out who had what. And then DESE has asked us those questions as a school district as well, because they're working with with schools across Missouri to figure this out. So we've made paper packets available at some of our buildings too. So if any parents need those, they can contact the buildings to pick those up as well. But I think our biggest concern about the switch and so quickly was kids who need not only technology, but they need food and they need counseling services. So we've really had some local agencies step up and help with those things as well.
We want to hear your stories, like where you're from, how you got into teaching as a career, what your favorite part of the job is, and you know what? Something else that would be interesting. What would you be doing if you weren't a teacher?
Bridget,
don't all start talking at once.
Okay. So I am a Mexicoan, born and raised here. I haven't gone too far away, Northwest Missouri, to go to college. I lived in Columbia for a while after I got married and came back to Mexico. I have wanted to be a teacher actually since the third grade. I had a wonderful third grade teacher whose name is Mrs. Webster.
And I remember Mrs. Webster.
Yes, I adore that lady. I know a lot of people thought she was very, very strict.
She was.
Yes.
But in a good way.
Yes, you learned what you needed to learn, but you also knew that she was very caring and she cared about you. So I wanted to help children like she had helped me. So that is why I became a teacher. My favorite part about being a teacher is gaining that rapport with your students, and then you get to watch them learn the concepts, and when they get it and that light bulb goes on and they get excited, you get to be excited with them. And that is the best thing. When my students get it, the office ladies are wonderful, and I'll go like, let's go down and tell Mrs. Fate. And we'll take their stuff and we will show them. And, you know, Mrs. Kennemore's there. Whoever's in the office will stop and they will listen to my students count their money or say their sight words, whatever it is, they will stop and listen. So I just love that. It's very wonderful. I love it. So being that I have wanted to be a teacher since third grade, I'm not really sure what I would be doing. When I was younger, I kind of kicked around nurse and vet, but then after I got a little older and found out, oh gosh, I might have to put animals down and then people might pass away, I knew I couldn't handle that.
Your limits.
Yes, yeah, I couldn't handle that at all. No, I'd get too attached. But being in the work situation that I am in, I do realize that Mexico has a need for another place of business in the community that employs students and or graduates with special needs, and that is honestly my retirement goal. Is when I retire, is to open up some place. My friends, I taught in Fulton for a while. My friends Phyllis and Barb actually run Remade with a Purpose. Last year I took my students there to see them and learned how they had opened the shop and all that kind of stuff. So I would love for Mexico to do that.
Well, there you go. There's something we can get behind.
Yes. Yes.
Marcy, what about you?
Oh, I've always been in the area. I was born and raised here. I'm a Community R6 grad right up the road, and got into education later and was in the classroom for 7 years before I decided I really loved working with administrators. My degree's in management, so I had to go back and get a teaching degree and then come back into this. I grew up in Rush Hill, but have always been in and around Mexico because we always had to come to town for church and Walmart. So that was our trip to town. And I just really love my job. I think part of it's because it's necessary almost 24/7. You never know what's going to happen. I was on the phone with Steve Haig the other day, and Deb was in the background and says, asking, are you at work today? And Deb's like, yeah, she just does that because that's who she is, that's her identity, and it's just, I just really enjoy it. I'm passionate about what I do for the school. I think that I really enjoy it because I always have felt like I needed to protect my people, so I bring that here too, and I'm very passionate about protecting my teachers and all the employees here, and I just really like that. I think a lot of people have the wrong idea about PR. They think it's a spin type thing, and you're in communications, so you understand that a little bit.
Yes, yes we do.
But really, my job is just to tell the stories that are in the school district and to share those with you as the media and with the Ledger and then with other people within the school. So I enjoy sharing those stories out. If I wasn't in school PR, gosh, I don't know what I would do. I really enjoy PR, so maybe I'd work in the private sector and do that. I also, as silly as it sounds, maybe I'm an introvert, so I don't like people. But I do enjoy. I was a waitress in high school at the Golden Corral here in town, and I enjoy it. And I always encouraged my high school students to do that because I just feel like it was fun.
Well, and so. it shows a lot of people skills. If you don't have them before, you're gonna develop some if you want the tips.
Absolutely. Yes, it's kind of like a game.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but I enjoyed that. So I honestly think I would enjoy doing something like that if I wasn't in education.
And Deb, you're a hometown girl too, right?
I am, graduate. I tossed around a lot of things, but in high school, I had wonderful teachers, loved all of them really. But I told Daryl Douglas I was going to take his job someday, which is hilarious looking back now, and he laughed at me. There are so many stories that I'm sure he thanked. that he kept to himself, thank goodness. And so I just knew from that point I was going to be in this position at some point or one like it. So, you know, my favorite part about school is at the middle school right now is what happens to kids from 6th to 8th grade and the 3-year gain that happens. I think everybody wants kids. They want kids to grow up so fast, and really, it's a process, and it takes much longer than a year or a month or a week or a day. But when kids come to us in the 6th grade and they leave, they are transformed, and man, what a joy that is. And my other favorite thing is to watch teachers with kids, because what they do for kids and the ideas that they have and that whole, okay, this didn't work, let's try this, and when it works, what happens to them is so powerful that it really that's what transforms our kiddos, and so that's really fun. If I weren't doing this, I'd love to do a ton of things. I'd like to be a graphic designer. If I didn't have to clean up puke, I'd be a nurse. I would love to be a dermatologist.
Well, there you go. What have you all done during the extended closure to keep yourselves busy at home? Not involving teaching your own kids, but Deb, I know you've been going through pictures, at least from what I've seen on Facebook.
Well, I bought myself a scanner, and so I did. I'm trying to go through pictures. You know, I have all my parents' stuff and all my childhood stuff, and it's slow, but it's so fun to walk down memory lane, and I love that. But I've actually gotten to walk and go out. I mean, the Green Estates, what a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so nice to be outside. And during this time of year, I would never, I mean, you know, make time to exercise. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh, sure. Running down the halls at the middle school.
That's
simple. Bridget, what about you?
I have been cooking and baking up a storm. My husband likes to tease me and call me Laura, after Laura Ingalls Wilder, because I tend to bake a lot of things from scratch. You know, I've baked some bread, and I don't use a machine. It's all from scratch.
We'll be talking later. I need recipes.
Okay. since we couldn't go anywhere, I planted some seeds to help my daughter with her little fairy garden that we like to plant. And my son does want you to be aware that I do play video games with him, and I accidentally called Kirby Yoshi. So he wants you to be sure that you know that.
That's not good.
I know, and I know the difference, but it came out wrong. And he's like, well, you need to tell them that. Okay, I will tell. I will tell them that I got those two.
So confession.
That's right. Who knew this was going to turn into true confessions?
I know, but, right?
Marcy, besides sending the kids off to spring plant,
yes,
which has allowed you to get some things done around the house, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I've been putting together lots of puzzles. I'm not quite as good as Sarah Kennemore at the high school. She's been videoing hers and getting one done in like one sitting. I need like 3 weeks to do a 500-piece puzzle, and not one puzzle I've put together yet has had all the pieces. So I don't know if I'm the common factor or what's happening.
Or they're just running off under the couch.
Right. I'm not sure. I'm blaming it on the dog, maybe. I don't know. The dog ate it, but yeah. So I've been putting together some puzzles. I mean, if we're going to have a pandemic, what greater time than the spring? Getting back out there to run.
Sure.
So I run. So I've been doing that again. And I've been frequenting the to-go and curbside deliveries at a lot of our local establishments.
You know what? That's a good thing, and we're glad that they're available and open.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. Very thankful for that. I don't like to cook like Bridget does. So.
I cannot wait to go out to eat. Yeah. I cannot wait.
Marcy, do we have anything firmed up yet on graduation or prom? I know there was a survey sent out, and earlier in the week we didn't know a whole lot. Have we gotten anything closer yet?
We barely know a little bit more. We did the survey last Thursday until this Monday at 3 o'clock for senior parents. A good response rate for a survey is usually around 30%, and we actually had over 50% of our parents respond, so we thought that was great. So thank you for responding to that and letting us hear your voice. I can tell you that 96% of our senior parents that did respond wanted the traditional Mexico High graduation. So after those results came in, the administrators at the high school started looking at dates in June and July. It's likely, I mean, this could change, but it's likely that prom and commencement will be on the same weekend, maybe a Friday and a Sunday or something like that. So they're looking at that, and then they're trying to balance the time before it gets too late in the summer and we might lose some participants, or if someone's leaving for the military or people planning vacations, if we can get back out and do things again. So they're trying to look at all that, as well as guidance from the CDC and the governor and our local health officials. So we're hoping to make an announcement about that from the high school by the end of this week. So we'll see how that works out, but we are talking about it, and we so much appreciate the feedback from the parents, because it just shows us that, you know, those traditions are living on at MHS.
Sure. Deb, anything on promotion at the middle school?
So we are kind of waiting for the high school so we don't step on toes. If they have to go to something online, we don't want ours to, you know, promotion is a academic celebration, as is graduation, but graduating is such, it's a huge milestone, right? Mm-hmm. And so we are being very respectful of the high school. And then as soon as we have that done, we've met with teachers on awards assemblies. So we'll do something that'll be on Facebook, or it may be a video, but all the teams are working those things out so we can still celebrate our kids. And as soon as we have something for promotion, we will make sure people know.
Everybody knows. All right. Now, Bridget, I know you work with some of the special services.
Yes.
Kids. What can parents do? You know, a lot of them thrive on a very structured environment, and without school or sports right now, how can parents and caregivers help maintain some of that structure?
The best thing that is, from my advice, is to make sure you follow a schedule, get a routine down. So you get them up at the same time every day, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever works best for your schedule, because I know a lot of parents are working from home right now. So, you know, they get up, they do their morning routine. You go to the bathroom, you wash your hands, you eat your cereal, brush your teeth, get dressed, brush your hair, that kind of stuff. So work on the morning kind of routine stuff first and get that done. Then it comes to the school schedule. A lot of times pictures work very, very well. So if you want somebody to read for 20 minutes, honestly, you know, with you being the parent, you're going to know your child, you know, the best and how long that they can do a task. So if you want to start off with reading a book, you know, do that first. Then if you want to move on to math, then move on to math, and then social studies, science. It's kind, you know, kind of based on what your teachers send home, but then you also have to make sure that you give your student a break. If you know that your student can only handle 10 minutes of silent reading, then after that 10 minutes, then say, okay, let's go out and ride your bicycle up and down the street 5 times. And then, you know, take that mental break, go back in, do the next task, take another break, do the next task, and that will definitely help. Something that parents need to keep in mind, though, the schedule is there as a tool, but even in my own house, the schedule does not work as planned every single day. You know, so just keep that in mind. If it doesn't work today, you can tweak it, and it might work again tomorrow. Something that I have found that works very well, I have a 10-year-old daughter at home, and she knows that if she works very well on her schoolwork Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, or Thursday, then on Friday, we're going to do something special together. We obviously can't go anywhere, so she can pick from different things. We can paint our nails. I can play with her Barbies. I can play with her with the sidewalk chalk. Just things that you have at home that could be motivational for your student to work, you know, on this task or that task. Some students might need a motivator, though, before the end of the week. You know, like maybe you have a student who needs a motivator, you know, in the middle of the day right before they eat. You know, I don't know. You know your student best. So make sure you fit in those breaks and try to keep on somewhat of a routine.
Very good. Now, a lot of your students are out in the community learning job skills mm-hmm. with various businesses. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty much shelved for the summer, or are you going to try to do that later on, or is there a plan?
As far as the summer program, I know anything that we had going during school is not in session right now. But hopefully this summer, my students will still be able to go out into the community and work. But like everything else, it's still kind of on a day-to-day basis. You know, today they're telling me yes, but maybe tomorrow they're going to say, I'm sorry, Bridget, no. It's just a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Marcy, is the food program going to be extended into the summer? Do we know anything about that yet?
We haven't heard anything about summer school yet. We're waiting for some guidance on DESE on that as well. But the food services program, I've been told, will run through June 30th, regardless if we have summer school or not.
Okay.
So right now we're doing two curbside pickups a week over 6 locations. So we will continue that as of right now, and then if it needs to be modified as we go into the summer and we look at numbers and who's picking those up, then we'll do that. So our food services director and her crew have been doing a great job mm-hmm. of getting our students fed out in the community.
Well, very good. And we're going to wrap it up with one last question for each of you. We'll start with Deb.
Oh.
Uh-huh. What do you want to share with your students and parents?
Mm. I miss you. We miss you. Keep plugging away. We believe in you just like you believe in us, and we're thankful for them. Do the best you can, and whatever you can't get done, it's okay. We'll pick it up in the fall, but don't let it stress you out to the point it makes home unfun, because it should be a safe place, and if you need something, holler.
Very good. Marcy?
Ditto what Deb said. From the communications aspect, I can just tell you that as a district, we will continue communicating with our parents mainly by email. We are also trying to get some Facebook posts out there as well, so follow those channels. And we know that parents probably have lots of questions right now, and then sometimes we have those questions too, and we have to wait for state guidance as well, but we will get those answered for you. So please don't hesitate. We've got people in our offices now, or you can email us at the school, and we will contact you directly to answer those questions.
And Bridget?
To my parents, I appreciate your support and your help at this time. I appreciate hearing from you, and I will happily help you any way that I can. To my students, I love you, and I miss you. I can't wait for August to roll around so I can give you a big hug. I might not let go, but you know. And then for my seniors, I am so, so sorry you did not get to finish the year out with me. I went to my classroom one day last week, and I looked around at my desks and realized you all aren't going to sit there anymore, and that's very sad for me. So, however, whenever we decide on commencement, I expect a big air hug.
That's going to wrap up a very special edition of Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXEO. Thanks to Deb Haig. Marcy Miner and Bridget Bingham, thank you for sitting down and joining us this morning. And we'll do it all again next week. Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXEO.